Friends, I'm delighted to welcome Minister for the Diaspora, Jimmy Dinahan, as of course not only as a senior representative of the Irish government. I'm delighted to have Jimmy here to talk about a victory of world renown. And Minister Dinahan, marriage equality referendum in Ireland, of course, has gotten world attention. It was an initiative of the Irish government, and indeed was one of the campaign promises that, yes, again, has come to fruition.
Yeah, we're the first country in the world, actually, that put it to a referendum. Now, there is same-sex marriage in several countries in the world, the same as there here in many states in America, but they were done through the legislatures.
Yes.
The parliaments, the national parliaments or state parliaments, whereas this was put to the people. We have a constitution in Ireland, and if we want to change it or change any wording on it, we have to put it to the people. It's
right.
The people's constitution. So it was the people that decided this. It wasn't the government. The government only gave the opportunity to the people to decide it.
However, we should point out that previous governments did not want to touch the issue with a 40-foot pole. And it took it somewhat, giving credit where credit is due. I think that your government said, listen, this is an issue for the people of Ireland to decide. It could have gone any which way. That was in terms of the Irish government's position. It was risky, but it was something that was a platform that you had promised.
Absolutely. Well, basically, the previous government had introduced civil partnership, which gave legal protection to same-sex couples, and obviously would have given protection as regards property and other aspects of relationships between two people. We set up, the present government, when they took office, set up a constitutional convention to look at our constitution and make recommendations as to what changes may be required or if they were demanded. And one of the recommendations that came from the constitutional convention was that there should be same-sex marriage. In other words, that same-sex couples, people from the lesbian and gay community, that they should have as both the same legal entitlement to get married as heterosexual couples. So that was one of the recommendations, and the government put that to the people. All of the political parties actually in the Dáil supported it. Fianna Fáil, Labour, well, they're in government, Labour, Fine Gael government, and Sinn Féin, they all supported it. But what really impressed me was the level of involvement by young people. I've never seen, since I've come into politics 32 years ago, since I ran first, more engagement by young people. And even so, some of those young people, they're registered to vote. But also those that were still on the register of electors for elections, they came from Australia. Someone even came from Australia. I'm sure that some went over from the US. And there were a large number that came in from the United Kingdom. So if they were on the register of electors, they came back to vote and to vote for yes. And there was a major buzz around Dublin Airport with young people coming back.
Yeah.
So it shows, demonstrated, first of all, that Ireland, I suppose, has kind of moved on as regards issues like marriage, but also that young people now know that they can change things by their involvement in politics, active involvement in politics, and hopefully it will lead to young people being more engaged in politics in the future, in whatever aspect that would be. But I think it's very important because...
It points out, though, Minister Deenahan, that the naysayers, those who say that the young people of Ireland, they leave and they lose interest and they have a chip on their shoulder leaving and they could care less what goes on. That is obviously something that all those young people would not be coming back to Ireland if they did not have a tremendous interest in Ireland. And one has to say that maybe they have an eye on coming back.
Well, they have. Look, I've been travelling all over the world in the past year, and before that, of course, I've been travelling around the world for years. But I must say that the young Irish people that I have met, be it here in New York or Australia or wherever, the UK, I'm very impressed with them. They're very mature. They're very open. I've had no issue with any of them whatsoever. They're very proud of the fact, actually, that Ireland has addressed its problems, that we have paid our debts, that we seem to be coming out of the whole problem with our economy, that we are creating jobs and creating opportunities for them to go back if they so want to. And some of them are getting those opportunities, but for whatever reason, they don't wish to return to Ireland. They would prefer to stay in New York if they had a good job here. If they had a relationship here, they decide to stay on. But what we are trying to do as a government to give them that choice to come back if it suits them, and obviously it suits some. I've met at least five people in the last 2 weeks that have come back to Dublin, come back to Ireland, and there will
be more. But these are early days in terms of the government's the resurrection of an economy, the recovery there that is sinking in. The corner is well turned at this stage of the game, and I think that there is good reason for a lot of those who left Ireland to take a look at what we considered Ireland to be in the first place. You know, with the Celtic Tiger and with the great sense of confidence that the countries of the world saw in Ireland. Obviously, they must have believed that the government's commitment to recovery ahead of schedule must have something, gave them a great sense of not only in tourism and areas like that, but investment and confidence in Ireland?
Our recovery is still rather fragile. It's been bedded down. We are reaching the targets as regards the budget deficit, which is under 3% now. It's about 2.7% for this year. Hopefully it will be eliminated altogether by 2018. We are creating jobs, 95,000 since 2012. Our unemployment rate has gone down from 15.1% to 9.9%, under 10%, first time in a long number of years. So all the indicators and fundamentals are very positive. But at the same time, we cannot go back to where we were during the year of the Celtic Tiger. Basically, at that time, the banks gave out huge money. Bank managers were rewarded in what they gave out rather than what they took in.
Sure.
And the reason why our economy was going so well, especially the business sector and the building sector, contributed to construction sector 22% to our GDP. And when that collapsed then, about 150,000 people lost their jobs. And that's when some of those came here to America.
Yeah.
They could get some legal pathway, and some of them even came illegally. And people who went to Australia and Canada because there were legal pathways. So really, the banks will never be allowed give out money. Any other banks would not get money either from the ECB
sure.
or from the World Bank or whatever, where they would get it, to create that kind of a false economy where they were plowing money into the economy, into the construction industry, and where even business had access to money for businesses that were more or less dead end in some cases. So it's a new form of economics. It's a more responsible form of economics. And I think if we continue along this trajectory, that we can create something very special in Ireland because of the large number of companies that are in Ireland, world leaders from the USA and from other parts of the world. The top 10 online social media companies are in Ireland, for example. The Googles, the Twitters, the
sure.
LinkedIn, the Dropboxes, they're all in Ireland. And they're creating a large amount of jobs, but at the same time, they're engaging Ireland with the rest of the world as well. And one of the first things I did actually when I became minister was to bring in all of those companies and ask them ways that they could suggest that they could use their platforms, be it LinkedIn or Google or Twitter,
sure.
To promote Ireland, to connect Ireland with the greater world. And they're doing that.
And so there is no Graham McCree in this, in the sense that those companies are there for success. They're not coming in saying, oh, yeah, well, you know, we'll do our best here and so forth. They're there because they're progressive. They need to make money, and they need to make it now.
Well, they're there because of the tax rate, but that's not the only reason
right.
why they're there. We have a very clear tax rate of 12.5%. Other countries do deals with companies, but then they maybe change their mind about those deals afterwards, then when a different administration might be in place. But irrespective of who's in government in Ireland, we are very clear that our tax rate, corporate tax rate, is 12.5%. So that provides certainty. Also, even more than that reason now, is the caliber of worker we have in Ireland. The caliber of worker now is regarded as one of the best in the world. We have a very flexible, adaptable workforce. In other words, that if people are asked to multitask, for example, they can do
right.
it rather easily. And I drive into work at 8 o'clock every morning in Dublin, and what I see is young people either driving on bikes, running to work, walking to work. They're all under 40. I see very few people over 40. There's a sense of determination about them.
Yeah.
People want to get on with life. They're very well motivated. And that's what's really driving the Irish economy at this moment of time, these young people with a lot of energy. And working with these international companies as well, they get an opportunity to work in the Silicon Valley and other parts of the world and stay connected with Ireland. So there are very exciting things happening at the moment, Adrian.
Yeah.
And in the past, when I was on your programs, I think my predictions, my gut instinct and these things were generally right. And I can see a really dynamic new Ireland
yeah.
emerging with some great people, people who are well educated, but very, at the same time, very humble people, very focused
yeah.
people. And I'm just very impressed with the caliber of people I'm meeting in New York here that have come from Ireland. I met some of them last night, some really
sure.
Fine people who are proud of being Irish, proud of the fact that we actually paid our bills, and we
yeah.
now seem to be the poster boy of Europe with the highest growth rate in Europe. But at the same time, they recognize as well that we can't lose our way, that
yeah.
we have to be disciplined as a country, that we can't be spending money that we either borrow
right.
or we tax people for. It just doesn't
yeah.
happen like that.
My guest today is Jimmy Deanahan, Minister for the Diaspora. A lot, of course, he was on very recently there with the about the training facilities and the center of excellence for Kerry and the center of excellence in Tralee.
I had a very interesting night in New York last night.
You sure did.
You probably know I was over with the Kerry County Board, who hosted a huge fundraiser in the Plaza Hotel, driven locally by Mollis Regan of J.P. Megan Construction, with also Don O'Sullivan of Navalis, and Shannon O'Leary Puhadas, who's from Kerry, and they did an excellent job with their committee, and there was a huge attendance there, and they expect that it could yield maybe anything up to $1 million for a new centre of excellence in Kerry for Gaelic Games. But as I explained to people last night, I can see this as being a centre for diaspora as well. Clubs here that are encouraging young people to play Gaelic football and hurling, they can go back there to do summer camps with their parents, while their parents would enjoy the natural and I suppose the human created amenities of County Kerry, and we have many of them. Then their young people can be doing summer camps and improving their skills. So I think it has a huge potential and possibilities as well for the Irish diaspora, not only in New York, but all over the world too. And I can see it as a centre of research for coaching, for adopting new training methods, new approaches to skill training. So it has huge potential. It's costing about $1 million. And this is the second fundraiser that was arranged in New York. There was one actually the same night last year.
Right.
That yielded about $500,000. So it's a lot of money to be taken out of New York. But having said that, I was delighted there before Christmas when I was here, and I think I was on your show then, as part of the immigrant support program. There was some money left over, mostly because of exchange rates between the dollar and the dollar. That thing was weaker than the euro. I was there to give $300,000 to Shannon Gale's football club,
which is right here in Queens. And made a tremendous difference. Many times we are, we were obviously very interested in the startup money, in the support. But I think beyond that, to have the endorsement, from the Irish government of a very successful, project that has undertaken, which has to do with, very badly needed here, in the sense that with immigration being at a somewhat of a standstill for years, young Irish Americans, kids here, this is the beginning of their cultural bond with Ireland.
Well, it's very important, and it was in recognition of Shannon Gale's contribution to the promotion of Gaelic Games in New York that obviously they got that grant, but also the large number of young people, some maybe second, third generation Irish, and some with no Irish DNA in them whatsoever. It's because of that work they're doing with that age group, and also the more senior age groups as well, that we felt that they deserve to get the recognition by giving them that grant aid. And I understand they're starting work this summer, and it should be a great facility. It wasn't the first grant that was given here to a J club, Rockland County, to receive the grant.
Indeed, yes.
And Gaelic Park in New York, they're preparing plans, but hopefully in the future that they will be assisted too. There's a big benefit for Ireland by doing this. There's a whole cultural benefit, obviously, because Gaelic Games are synonymous with Ireland. They're our own games in Ireland. We're quite unique as a country to have our own sports, native sports, that are deep-rooted in Irish mythology as well as in Irish history and heritage. And it's very important that they are fostered and promoted here amongst the Irish diaspora in America as well. And I'm very encouraged, actually, with the level of girls and women's participation in ladies' Gaelic football. And girls, the females, they like playing ladies' Gaelic football. They don't have too many options for outdoor sports. You have, obviously, here in America, women play baseball. I've seen it. It's growing, actually. Rugby, soccer. They don't attract huge levels of participation by women. But ladies' Gaelic football, it's skillful. There's an element of physicality about it, but it really suits
them.
That's
putting it mildly.
An element. But I was a PE teacher for 8 years, and I saw that when I was at school. I saw that girls took to this game immediately. I remember at the time advising the GAA that they should really promote ladies' Gaelic football, and they have done so very successfully. As you know, the GAA is really an amazing organisation. I would say, in a global sense, it's one of the top amateur organisations coming emanating from any country, possibly in the world. And now there are approaching 450 clubs all over the world, and there have been new clubs established. I was in Newfoundland there recently, as we sit in Ireland, Newfoundland, and they have two clubs there. And all over America, Australia, the UK, Europe, clubs are being established, and Asia. So that's, and even Africa. So that's all very positive, and I think if the GA can keep the organization structures together, if they keep providing some funding for these clubs, because there is an expense involved in establishing a club and keeping it going, and also maybe it coaching and travel and so on. If the GAA continue to put money into it, I think the game will continue to grow, and there'll be huge benefit, not only for the game itself, for Irish culture, and obviously for the Irish diaspora. So it's quite exciting in that sense. And just going back to last night, obviously it wasn't all Kerry people that were there. They were there from every county in Ireland, from Tyrone, of course. They were delighted that Peter Canavan was there.
Yeah.
And there was a photograph of Peter Canavan scoring that celebrated goal against Kerry that possibly won the All-Ireland that year for Tyrone. And that painting actually made, I think, $11,000. So I don't know, is it a Tyrone man that bought it or not, but certainly I think the Tyrone lads will be probably organising their own event for their own Centre of Excellence shortly here in New York. But they were there from every county last night. They supported them because of Maurice Regan. He's been very supportive and generous to a large number of organisations here in New York for a long time. And the same with Navalis. As you know, Navalis built Ground Zero. They're a huge company here now in New York.
Yeah.
And Donal O'Sullivan has been very generous to all causes, everything Irish, always. His door is open to people when they're looking for funding. And so, obviously, he used his contacts last night, and people responded to both Morrison and himself because of the fact that they've been so generous to so many organisations. So, overall, it was a great night. We had Mihalo Murkadig over, that great broadcaster, who broadcasted his first event back in 1949. It was a Railway Cup event. That was the interprovincial Gaelic games that were usually, they were played, the finals were played on Patrick's Day. There were always huge events back in Ireland. And Mihal started there in 49. And although he retired a few years ago, he's still broadcasting. And he's traveling all over the world representing Ireland. He's 85 years of age, but he's in great physical condition, and his mind is really active.
Centre of Excellence, first of all, it's not just out there as a private Kerry project. It is very tied in with the Institute of Technology in Tralee. So again, we're not talking about just a private club operating exclusively for the descendants of Kerry, and of course, obviously, that is important as well.
Well, it is. It's part of a major development in the Institute of Technology in Tralee, and that development not only will facilitate Kerry football and hurling, but also it will be a centre of adopted physical education, and it's a UNESCO World Centre for Adopted Physical Education. It'll be one of the few in the world, and it's basically adopted the pool, the gym, the various apparatus that's there will be all adopted to suit people with disabilities, and they could be both mental and physical disabilities. It's been the brainchild, I suppose, of a man called Pat Flanagan, who was trainer of the Kerry team for some time, and now I understand he's trainer of the Cork team. But Pat had a child with disabilities, very intelligent young man, and Pat had this interest, obviously, because of his experience with his own child. So he has created something that's global now, that will cost probably about $13 million to put in place, and there's a separate fundraising initiative in place for that, being driven by a man called Ogie Morton, who played with Kerry and captained Kerry back in the 70s and 80s, and actually who has won 8 All-Ireland medals. And it's been chaired by a man called Dick Spring, who was a former Minister for Foreign Affairs, played with Ireland in rugby, played also with Kerry in Gaelic football in a few games. So it's going very well. So the Centre of Excellence in near Farn Four Kerry Airport in Kearns will feature all the outdoor aspect of it, and then the whole scientific aspect of it, measuring, therapy, treatment, will be in the IT in Tralee. So it's a very good partnership between the Institute of Technology in Tralee, which hopefully in the next few years will be called the Munster Technological University.
Yes.
It's going through that process at the moment. It's a very good partnership between Kerry County Board of the Gaelic Athletic Association and the Institute of Technology in Tralee. It's a very good example of collaboration between, I suppose, a sporting organisation and a state agency.
Yeah. You know, as a 5-time All-Ireland GAA champion yourself, and you have been now referred to, particularly in this trip, as one of the legends of Gaelic football. Of course, Micheál would kind of overshadow you in terms of the legends, but it's a gathering of those who've been very much a part of Kerry, of sports, and indeed not only of sports, but the connection between sports and culture and music, and a lot of as a former minister, of course, for culture and heritage, it's not accidental that those who are very involved in sports, that it does lead to other aspects of our culture.
Very much so, but last night at that event, there were a large number of former All-Ireland winners. There were a lot of All-Ireland medals down there last night. But also with Peter Canavan, as I said, of Tyrone, and also Henry Scheffling of Kilkenny. And Henry, to me, was the greatest hurler I've ever seen, and I saw many of the greats, including Christy Ring and Nicky English and other great hurlers playing, but Henry Scheffling was the supreme hurler. Physically, he's about 6'4", he's really very, very... strong individuals.
You wouldn't want to take a fight with him.
Well, you wouldn't. And also, he was really very skillful. and he has a record for All-Ireland wins as well. He just retired recently after his club won the All-Ireland Club Hurling Championship, but he was there last night as well.
Yeah.
So you had it last night, you had Mick Galway. Mick Galway won an All-Ireland medal with Kerry in 1986, and then he went on and really, I suppose, established that great Munster rugby tradition. He played with Ireland on a number of occasions. He scored a very famous try in Lansdowne Road. They used to call it the Castle Island corner because Mick Dyle, who was from Castle Island too, from where Mick comes from, scored a try in that corner, and Moss Keane, who was from the same area again, the same townland in Corrow, scored a try there. But Mick then went on and played with the British and Irish Lions in a tour of New Zealand and Australia. So he was there last night. So we had a large number of really, I suppose, celebrated individuals there who are very supportive of this initiative. And, of course, they enjoy coming to New York. There's no place in the world like this city.
Sure.
And I'm sure all your listeners appreciate and realize that.
It is great. And I think that the New York connection to the Center of Excellence, coupled with the fact that the fundraising was not strictly Kerry, it was not just parochial, but a great number of people and investors in a center of excellence which will be open. It's not going to be a closed shop.
Absolutely, and that's what the GA is all about, and that's what the strength of the GA is, really, that it's open, it's amateur. There are some people, obviously, that get remunerated, but it's 90% volunteerism. People are prepared to give their time because of their love of our national games, which I suppose identifies us as a country. And also, at times, they would have children themselves playing, obviously, or grandchildren. And it gives them an opportunity of, I suppose, sharing something with their families that they may not be able to share in other areas. So sport is that great, I suppose, communicator, and it forms that bond between people that other forms, I suppose, of everyday life don't present those opportunities. So
and it's cohesive. And, you know, as Minister for the Diaspora, are we, is America somewhat expanding in that area of using sports and Gaelic sports to actually to reach people that are becoming more difficult, obviously, in the United States? Our opportunities for, because of the current immigration laws, the opportunities are less and less. This seems to be somebody latched on to the idea that Gaelic sports was well worth investing in as a cohesive form of our culture.
It's very important. It's a platform that's there. It's established. It's well organized. So it's an obvious means of connecting with our diaspora, the Irish population in general, both those few that are recently arrived, but also those people who have been here for years. And many of maybe the great-grandfathers now of the present generation of Irish Americans going back a while would have played Gaelic sport when they came out here.
It's transgenerational and it has a future.
Very much so, and obviously they would have memorabilia in their family archive of photographs of their great-grandfather or great-grandmother or whatever involved in teams. So it's that connection that's so important. And it's, as I've said, it's the glue, the GA Club in various parts of the world is the glue that really knits Irish communities together. And it's the place to go now when people go to places like Abu Dhabi or Dubai, for example. They join the local GA Club to meet friends, to meet people, to get contacts, to get jobs. It's very much part of business as well now, apart from recreation and sport and enjoyment and
yes.
social interaction between people. They meet each other. There are marriages being created out of it,
oh, yeah.
like so many marriages that happened out because of Gaelic Park here in New York in the past.
Sure.
I know many of them. So for all those reasons, human reasons, it's a very, very important platform that's well organized. It can even get better organized in the future.
Sure.
That whereas people like playing, they like winning, they like competing, but that's all secondary to the cultural aspect, to the social interaction that it provides for people and the opportunities it provides for people just to meet each other and talk to each other, whether it's relationships,
sure.
human relationships, whether it's business, whether it's cultural. It provides all those opportunities, which are really important as you go through
Absolutely.
Life, especially if you're a young person.
Friends, today, although he is the Minister for the Diaspora, I'm delighted to welcome, as I always am, Jimmy Deanahan, my friend.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you.